Christmas traditions on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. This week on the podcast, I'm delighted to have with me for our Christmas traditions, Dr. Jacob Elwert. He's a pastor of discipleship ministries at Intercity Baptist Church in Allen Park, Michigan. He also serves as assistant professor of biblical counseling at Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary. He is a certified member with ACBC. He's a fellow and he's a newly minted board member. So grateful for this brother. He and his wife, Jennifer, have three children and one grandchild. Jacob, glad you're here today.
Glad to be here.
Really looking forward to talking about Christmas. This is my favorite time of year, fall leading into the celebration of our Lord. Just such a wonderful time with family. I always love, we have certain traditions that we do, and we love repeating these. We're in the middle of even doing some of these ourselves now, and certain things that we're doing as it leads up to Christmas is always exciting. People do it different ways, and I love to hear how other people celebrate this time of year. So I want to talk just first, really simple. What are some of your favorite Christmas memories?
My favorite memories from my childhood all revolve around my family. My parents were saved out of Catholicism. My dad was 31 and my mom was 28 when they got saved. And they really jumped into genuine Christianity with both feet. After my dad grew in his understanding of the scriptures, he grew more and more frustrated with the traditionalism of his Catholic upbringing. And so he actually became kind of anti-traditional, not about the celebration of Christmas itself, but he certainly recognized the importance of the incarnation and that we should be reflecting on it. But he did not like to be bounded to a particular day on the calendar to celebrate Christmas. And I think he also saw that Christmas in our society has become so over-commercialized in a way that actually would detract from the celebration of Christ. So for all my teen years, and maybe before that, I don't remember, but he and my mom would give us gifts several days before Christmas, and that's when we would celebrate. We would pick a day. Sometimes it would be random. Sometimes it would be planned. There's never really a set day, but it was not going to be on Christmas Day for my dad. So that was fun. We felt special. And then when Christmas actually came, we could reflect on Christ and his birth. Some years we would read the Christmas story from Luke, then we'd go to see my grandparents. So those would be some of my favorite memories.
That's cool. Any specific memories that stand out now that you've had children? Do you do some of the same types of things?
We don't actually. So yeah, the way we do it now is we'll often do an Advent calendar together, some different one, or we'll have usually a Christmas Eve meal with our family if we can get our kids together, and then we'll do something on Christmas Day. But now that they're older, we don't get up as early as we used to, and it's kind of nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with the one grandchild, who knows what might change, right? Now, talk about some of the special ways that you mentioned the Advent calendar, some of the ways that you may prepare your heart for this time that we celebrate the coming of the Lord.
This year, I picked up a devotional called Gospel Meditations for Christmas by Chris Anderson and Joe Tierpak and Michael Barrett. It's a 30-day devotional that just gives you a text of scripture to read, usually a chapter, and then it has something about the character of God or the nature of Jesus or the nature of his incarnation. Super helpful. And so that's been good. In recent years, I have prepared my heart for Christmas through our church's Christmas concert. For me, it seems like my joy regarding the incarnation peaks that night at our church. I get to hear clear truth derived from the scripture and beautiful song, and then a clear message from the gospel from our pastor. But at the end of the service, my heart is just exploding with joy about our Savior. But probably the main way that I would say I prepare is by just completing my reading of the scriptures for the year. And so each year I try to read through the Bible. I've used several different reading plans, but my favorite one is just working through the Old Testament and the New Testament at the same time. So I'll usually have three or four chapters in the Old Testament, one in the New. So by the time I get to December, I'm usually working through the minor prophets and then into Revelation. And a study of the end times might not be everyone's go-to doctrine for Christmas, but I love to think about how the incarnation of Christ actually points to something, that Christ won on the cross and he will win. And that time's coming. It's moving to a culmination when he will rule the world with truth and grace. But none of those things of what I've read in the Minor Prophets and in the Revelation can happen apart from Christ coming to the earth, living a perfect life, dying a substitutionary atonement for my sin, and then winning decisively over death and sin. And on the final day, it will be clear to all that he won.
Yeah, I mean, we love thinking about the incarnation and the way the Bible describes it, that he will come in the same way. And it forces us to have to long for what's to come. As he came, he promised that he would come again. And just as sure as he promised in the Old Testament he was coming the first time, we long for that day that he's coming again. And so I love that outlook. And we talk about that a lot when it gets this time of year. Now, as you think about zooming in to Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, or I don't know, some people talk about Christmas Adam, right? The day before Christmas Eve. I don't know what you guys do. We love, you know, hanging out with family, doing special meals, maybe a special breakfast or something. What does that look like in your home? And maybe not now since your kids are out, but what were some of the things that you guys did on those two particular days?
Right. My wife's parents live in Iowa, so every other year we spend Christmas with them. So we could say the odd years are with my family, which I just made that connection right now. But but we could also say that the odd years are with her family and during Thanksgiving, too, because we go there every other year as well. So anyway, at their church, they have a Christmas Eve service every year, and it's a special service filled with scripture reading, congregational singing, and special music, sometimes a short devotional, but it generally is just more congregational in nature. We finish by lighting candles and gathering around the auditorium to sing Silent Night, and it's in a cappella, and it's amazing. Then Christmas Day with her family is usually gathering around with them for a big meal and then exchanging gifts, of course, after all the dishes are cleaned. And the years that we're in Michigan on those odd years, our family usually opens one gift on Christmas Eve and then the rest on Christmas Day. So all of my family lives here, lives in Michigan with near me besides my youngest brother. So we usually get together with all my brothers and sisters and all their kids, and it's quite a gathering of seven siblings and, I don't know, something like 20-some nieces and nephews. And we have a big meal together, usually on the Saturday before Christmas. A lot of times we'll tell stories about our childhood that we've probably told 100 times before and that all of our kids could quote at this point. A few times we've had a dad joke competition where we have a tournament-style one-on-one competition, and the goal is to get the other person to laugh. But those are some things that we do. But I'm thankful that God has saved all of my extended family, so we don't take that for granted. We spend time thanking God for his goodness to us and usually try to enjoy each other's company when we get together with my side of the family. And then on Christmas Day, now that our kids are older and we only have one left in the house, we don't get up super early. So Jennifer usually has our kids and now our daughter-in-law and granddaughter over for a meal and some games and probably a Christmas movie. Whether we're in Michigan or Iowa, I have to admit Hallmark movies are a part of our time together as a family.
Is that a confession? I suppose.
That's a confession, okay. Yes. And so I get a kick out of them because they all kind of have the same plot as many have acknowledged before. You know, you have the movie starts out with a love interest who lives in a big town, dating a person that everyone knows is not going to work out. And then the other love interest lives in a small town and has recently been widowed, but is trying to make ends meet by working in their family shop or business so they can have enough money to care for their elementary age child.
You've thought about this a lot, brother.
Then I'm not done yet. The big city love interest comes to town, stumbles across the other person's path. It could be dropping papers or getting splashed by a car that is passing by, or it could be literally falling off a ladder into the other person's arms. That's usually how they first meet. They don't really like each other at first. In fact, they're usually bothered by each other, and they work together for most of the movie. The small town character usually has a trusted friend that helps move things along in the relationship. And eventually, they fall in love until the climax of the story's arc when one person, usually the small town person, has a major misunderstanding about the other person, and they break it off, and you have this tense 4 or 5 minutes, and then 4 more minutes of commercials about compression socks and Gold Bond cream. But and then when the show comes back on, they make up, and the big town person, you know, kind of decides to give up their big corporate job and move to the small town, and they live happily ever after. So
you forgot the kiss, man.
Yeah,
the kiss is a part of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I don't know if you know this. I have girls in the house too. So like, that's why I'm chuckling. But you're in the land of Hallmark right now. So we're recording in Kansas City and this is the home of Hallmark.
I was always assumed it was in Canada.
No, the like crown, the Crown Center is where Hallmark is. Huh. A little crown that's here in downtown. The big warehouse is not too far from here. So yeah, interesting.
And do they shoot around the area?
Like, they shoot in a bunch of different places. Okay. Sometimes here. That's too much information that I should not know.
Let's continue.
Yeah, let's move on. So let's get back to the incarnation. Okay, I want to think about this because you've talked a lot about the ways that you guys meditate, think on the incarnation. Talk just specifically, if you and I were just having a conversation, encouraging one another about thoughts on the birth of Jesus and the incarnation. What are some of the key things that are really central in your mind that are not just intellectual, but man, these things are comforting about the truths of the incarnation. What are some of those that we can meditate on?
Well, I think Philippians 2 is super helpful in just thinking about how he left heaven's throne and he humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross. And so the incarnation doesn't stop at the birth of Jesus. It always points towards something. So I think that for me, that's a critical part of it. We don't want to just stop at the reality that Christ became man, but that he became man in order to do something, born to die, as one song states it. And of course, that death was meant to do something as well. So the primary way I want to encourage others with regard to the incarnation is by making the main thing the main thing. And I want my family to not lose sight of the most important things. And so really the center of our lives is the local church, and we want that to be obvious even during times where we might feel like, hey, this is time for us to take off, you know, a few days or whatever, but not from church, because as I was saying earlier, the church's Christmas concert's a very important part of my experience in terms of trying to think about the incarnation. And then several times we'll have themed messages based on various passages about the incarnation to help remind me of the importance of this time. This helps us push back against the culture that's constantly trying to distract us from the meaning of Christmas. And so the extra time that I'm able to spend with my family is super helpful to be encouraging to each other about spiritual things. You know, for much of the year, like many families, we're running pretty fast through life. And for the time where we're able to get together during the Christmas season, it's just really special time to slow down and just reflect on the good things that God's allowed us to enjoy.
That's so good. I mean, you can't have the cross without the incarnation. Such an important factor. I want to finish maybe just with some of the things that we do is just special meals. And it's not so much the food, although that's what our kids like to talk about, but it's the time that we get to sit down and just enjoy fellowship with one another as families. Families get busy as your kids get older, like you experience, they're out of the house. And so it's a time where you just get to be with one another. Talk about some of the meals that you guys have or what that would typically look like sitting around the table.
Jennifer's family is much more traditional than my family was in terms of Christmas. So they had a similar meal every year. And so now I've been able to be a part of that for the last 20-some Christmases. So their meal includes rice and homemade meatballs and then peas and red cheese ball salad, which is made from cream cheese mixed with some kind of nuts inside the a jello kind of salad, and then crescent rolls, and then finished with a 4-layer red velvet cake for dessert. And then on Christmas Day, that's every Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Day is usually a turkey or a ham and all the traditional sides. So whenever we're here in Michigan, Jennifer often recreates that meal for us as well. And so that now our kids are able to enjoy it even when we're not in Iowa. When I'm together with my family, we'll usually have turkey or prime rib, and then everyone will bring a dish to share. So it's not necessarily all the traditional side. Sometimes they're mixed, and obviously with different allergies and things like that, you get all sorts of different things. But that's typically, we're pretty close to traditional besides that Christmas Eve meal, I would say.
Well, fun time to celebrate. And we as believers have all the reason in the world to celebrate. And I do hope that you guys have a wonderful week. Jacob, thanks for helping to prepare our hearts to think about the incarnation, and pray that you all celebrate it with great awe and wonder at what the Lord truly has done for us. Jacob, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
You You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. Merry Christmas from ACBC. We're so delighted. All of us here on staff at ACBC want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas. We've had a wonderful season celebrating the incarnation of our Lord. We pray that this is a special week for all of you. You know, I love doing this particular podcast. I love hearing the many traditions that people have, how differently, whether it's different parts of the country, their different families that they grew up in, and just remembering the ways that people celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. You know, I pray the Lord is a comfort and a joy to all of you in this season as we remember what deep hope and lasting peace that the Lord has given us because of his sacrifice. And it really is only through him that God and man are truly reconciled. I hope you think about that as you sing the wonderful carols this year, you hear the wonderful hymns, that we are reconciled by Christ. We are so grateful for the sacrifice that he's given. And all that was possible because he came as a baby in a manger to save his people from their sins. Christian, I pray that you rest so wonderfully in that hope and peace and truth that the incarnation brings to us. You know, all of us at ACBC want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas as we remember our Savior and we look into the new year. I pray that you all have a wonderful, wonderful week.